Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive, brought to you by the PwC Podcast.
Great to be here.
We spent some time really digging into a bunch of resources on a topic that I think affects, well, pretty much everyone on a spiritual path.
Absolutely. It's a big one.
Our mission today, simple. We want to give you the shortcut, the key insights into maybe the biggest friction point there is, that gap between what we say we believe and how we actually, you know, live our lives day to day.
Mm-hmm. It's that shift, isn't it? Moving beyond just nodding along the mental agreement part of faith.
Right.
To actually doing it. You know, when life gets noisy and complicated, like on a Monday morning, that's what we're exploring, how belief really finds its voice through our actions.
Okay, let's jump right into that. Because honestly, the core idea we found in the source material is, well, it's pretty challenging.
It can be, yeah.
It basically says that for a lot of us, maybe most of us, the issue isn't really a belief problem. We get the concepts, we know the verses.
We agree with the theology.
Exactly. The real bottleneck is a doing problem. We're convinced up here in our heads, but somehow we're stuck when it comes to actually putting it into practice.
It's like a performance gap. We take in all this incredible, inspiring stuff. You know, sermons, podcasts like this one, articles, verses.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. But somehow, making that leap, translating that knowledge into how we actually live, that often gets missed. We can feel really good after hearing something powerful.
Well, definitely. Like spiritually refreshed.
Right. But then, boom, we hit the office or the school run or just, you know, regular life. And we slip right back into the old ways. It's like we mistake hearing it for doing it.
Okay, so that brings up a huge question then. What's the difference? What actually counts as real faith versus just passive belief? And this is where the sources point us straight to someone pretty uncompromising.
Oh, yes. James.
Yeah.
The brother of Jesus. He doesn't really mince words on this, does he?
Not at all. He sets a standard.
He really delivers what you might call a spiritual gut punch. I mean, it's necessary for a deep dive like this one.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that foundational line, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.
Dead. That's stark.
It is. And what's fascinating is the metaphor. He's not saying it's bad faith or wrong faith necessarily. He's saying it's non-functional, like a body without breath. It looks like a body, but it lacks the essential evidence of life.
So it's inert.
Exactly. His point seems to be that real living conviction, it just can't stay locked inside your head. It has to, by its very nature, spill out into what you actually do, your hands, your feet, your choices.
Okay, but let's be real for a second. That sounds hard, demanding. How do we avoid falling into this trap of thinking, okay, I have to perform perfectly, do everything right, just to prove my faith is real? That sounds like legalism.
That's such a crucial distinction to make, and the sources are clear on this too. James isn't trying to push us into perfectionism or earning salvation through works. Not at all.
Okay, good.
Think of it more like an x-ray. His words give us a view into the heart. Our actions aren't the cause of our faith. They're the result of it, the natural, inevitable effect. If you look across the Bible, you just don't see faith and action separated. They're woven together.
So action is like the vital sign of faith.
That's a great way to put it. It shows that the faith is alive and breathing.
Which means if actions reveal what we truly believe, then doing nothing or inaction, that actually says a lot, too. The stakes are pretty high.
Immense.
And this is where the sources really push us, you know, ask those tough questions. And if you're listening, just sit with these for a moment. They're not meant to weigh you down, but maybe wake you up a bit. Shine a light on areas where we might be kidding ourselves.
And there are challenging questions. They move us past just saying the right words.
Okay, like this one. If we say, you know, I trust God completely with my future, but then every single time, he seems to nudge us towards something a bit risky, a bit uncertain.
Like starting something new or having that difficult conversation.
Yeah. Or changing careers, maybe. If we always pull back, always choose the safe option, do we really trust him? Or do we just trust him with the outcomes we already like and can control?
That's a tough one. Or think about love. We'd say we love people, love our neighbors, love the less fortunate.
We talk about it a lot.
Right. But if you look at our actual calendars, our schedules, are they ever interrupted by acts of service? If you look at our bank accounts, is generosity reflected there? If not, is that love real? Or is it just a nice idea we like to think about?
Oof. Okay, and maybe the biggest one. If we genuinely believe that the message of Jesus transforms lives, that it offers real hope in a world that's clearly hurting.
Which we say we do.
Right, but then we go months, maybe years, without ever actually sharing that hope with someone, someone we know who might need it. What does that silence?
Right.
What does it actually say about how much we value that belief?
It really forces you to look at your actions as, like, a thermometer. They show the actual temperature of your conviction, not just what you say it is.
There's this analogy in the material that just sticks with you. It says faith without action is like a car without gas.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. You can have this beautiful car, right? Perfect paint, amazing interior, all the latest tech. It looks fantastic. But if there's no fuel in the tank,
it's going nowhere. It's just garden art.
Exactly. It's completely inert, looks great, serves no purpose. And that apparently is the difference between just having a belief system, a philosophy, and having a living, working, active faith.
Okay, so we've diagnosed the problem, seen the stakes. We don't want to leave you, the listener, just sort of staring at your beautiful gasless car feeling guilty.
Right, that's not the point.
No. The goal now is to figure out how to get some fuel in the tank. How do we get moving? So we're shifting from diagnosis to application. And the sources give us three really practical things, like actual principles you can put into action, maybe even this week.
Good. We need practical steps, not a giant overhaul, maybe just a small gear shift to get some traction if we feel stuck.
Exactly. Tangible things.
So the first pillar, the first principle, is about making your faith visible. Let your choices do the talking, basically.
But not in a showy way, right?
No, exactly. The subtitle could be visible, not vain. It's not about putting on a performance for others or wearing a sign. It's more about letting your everyday kind of mundane choices line up with what you say you value.
It's about consistency in the small things, the often unseen things. Where are those little moments where maybe our actions contradict our faith just because it's easier or more convenient?
Let's make that super practical. Think about how you react when there's bad news or maybe some gossip going around at work or in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Instead of just jumping into the complaint fest or adding to the outrage online, choosing intentionally to speak gratitude instead, or maybe offer encouragement. That's a visible act of faith right there.
Choosing life, essentially.
Yes. Or, this is a tough one, if someone hurts you, the default is often bitterness, right?
Yeah.
Holding on to it. But choosing to actively forgive, even when it feels undeserved or inconvenient, that's a powerful demonstration of grace, isn't it?
Hugely powerful.
So the challenge here is, find one area, maybe even a small habit, where your life doesn't quite match your stated faith, and just take one small, deliberate step this week to close that gap. Make it visible, mostly to yourself and God first.
I like that. And that focus on practical daily stuff leads really nicely into the second principle, which tackles something we often avoid. The discomfort that sometimes comes with active faith. It's called step into the scary yes.
Ooh, scary yes. I like that. Because faith often does feel uncomfortable, doesn't it?
It really does. Because if following God, if living out our faith never required any risk or stepping out of our comfort zone,
right.
Well, it wouldn't really be faith, would it? It would just be smart planning or self-reliance.
That makes sense. Action is required because it stretches us.
Precisely. And the Bible is full of examples. Peter's the classic one, right?
Walking on water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus calls him out of the boat. Now, the miracle didn't happen while Peter was sitting there thinking about it or calculating the risks.
He had to actually swing his legs over the side.
He had to physically leave the safety, the comfort, the known, and take that terrifying first step onto the water. The provision, the miracle, it met him after he obeyed. Obedience came first.
So the modern version of that.
Well, think about how our culture pushes comfort and risk avoidance. A scary yes today might be volunteering for something you feel totally unqualified for.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
Or maybe initiating that really difficult conversation aimed at reconciliation. Or maybe it's committing to give a certain percentage financially when the budget already feels tight. It's saying yes to God's nudge, even when it feels scary.
So the action step.
It's really asking God, okay, where are you calling me to trust you right now, even though it feels hard or uncomfortable? And then just take the very first step, not the whole journey, just step one, the growth, the miracle, whatever God has planned.
Yeah.
It's usually waiting just on the other side of that initial yes.
That idea of taking the first step, even when it's scary, really highlights the need for support, doesn't it? Doing hard things alone is, well, it's nearly impossible sometimes.
Community is vital.
Absolutely. So if you're listening to this and thinking, yeah, I need that scary yes, or I want to make my faith more visible, but I need people alongside me, then we really want to invite you to find that kind of community. A great place to start is PWC, Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where people are actively wrestling with this stuff, trying to connect Sunday's inspiration with Monday's reality. We encourage you to check it out. Visit PWC.
That's a great point. Okay, so that brings us to the third pillar, the third practical principle. And this one focuses on humility. It's serve someone in secret.
Ah, okay. So not visible this time.
Right. This one is intentionally hidden. Jesus himself said the greatest among us are the servants. And the sources suggest that serving secretly, without any chance of getting credit or praise, is a really powerful way to grow genuine, motive-free faith.
Motive purity. That's interesting, because when you serve publicly, let's be honest, even subconsciously, there can be that little temptation, right? To want people to notice, to appreciate it.
It's human nature. But when you deliberately choose an act of love or service that only God sees, your motive becomes really clear. It's just about obedience and genuine care for the other person. There's no other payoff.
So faith grows in the hidden places.
That's where it's often forged and refined, yeah. So the action here is quite simple, but it requires real intention. Commit this week to one act of service, one act of love that is completely unannounced, unrecognized.
No Instagram posts about it.
Definitely no Instagram posts. No expectation of even a thank you.
Okay, give us some examples. What could that look like?
Well, maybe you know someone struggling financially. You could buy some groceries and leave them on their doorstep anonymously.
Okay.
Or you notice a colleague is having a really rough time. Write a specific note detailing things you appreciate about them, but don't sign it. Just leave it on their desk.
I like that.
Or maybe he's committing to pray faithfully, specifically, for a neighbor or someone you know is going through difficulty and they never even know you're doing it. It's about demonstrating trust in God's economy, the unseen things.
Visibility, the scary yes, and secret service. Three very different but practical ways to start bridging that gap.
Exactly. And it comes back to that core idea.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't necessarily need more people who can just talk about faith eloquently.
Yeah.
What it desperately needs is people who will actually live it out, choice by choice, action by action.
Which loops us right back to James and that stark warning he gave. We probably need to hear it again as we wrap up.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because it addresses the primary danger here, which is just passive listening. He said, quite directly, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Deceive yourselves. That's strong language. Believing that just hearing it, just knowing it, just having that beautiful car with no gas is enough.
And he's saying it's not. The evidence of life, the action, needs to be there. Otherwise, we're fooling ourselves.
So the real takeaway, the application from all this, it has to be active, right? This isn't just about gathering interesting information.
Absolutely not. The challenge, really, for everyone listening is, what's the one thing? Based on these pillars, making faith visible, stepping into a scary yes, or serving in secret, what one specific thing will you commit to doing this week that shows your faith is alive and active?
Okay, that's the challenge. Don't just think about it. Identify one thing, and maybe write it down.
Yes. Write it down. Maybe tell someone you trust, a friend, someone in your small group, your spouse. That accountability helps.
Definitely.
And then just go do it. Don't overthink it. Don't wait until you feel like it.
Yep.
Let the obedience, the action itself, create the momentum. Just step out and see what God does.
See what happens. I love that.
And maybe a final thought to carry with you. If action really is the evidence of faith, the proof that it's alive, what small, maybe even hidden action could you take literally today, like right after listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the clearest, truest evidence of your trust in God.
That's a great question to reflect on. Something immediate.
Just a little nudge to get started.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive on making faith active. We really hope this conversation sparked something for you. If it did, maybe share it with a friend or bring it up in your small group. Talk about these action steps together.
Keep the conversation going.
Exactly. Go be doers of the word this week. Thank you for listening to the PWC podcast. We'd love for you to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.